Journey number two in honor of the total eclipse of the sun here in 2017. The date for this journey is August 23rd, 2017. This journey is a little different. It is the second in the series, and it does seem to be about the second chakra in some ways. More on that in a minute. I had three people give me intentions, actually a fourth. So this journey reflects some of the imagery and messages for these folks as well. The hope is that it will resonate more with more people, the more people I can journey with and for. So as soon as I was in the sacred garden at night, as it was here when I took the journey, there was very little light available because the moon is so new. I did, in the garden, feel the presence of a guide nearby, but I had to leave the gated confines of my garden. It does have a fence all the way around it. And this stands in for a metaphor of leaving the gated confines of my mind a lot of times. But anyway, I had to leave the confines of the garden and in order to see her. And it was a big cat, I think a lion, when I first saw her. And I rode her, and she just ran and ran and ran across the countryside, just all really a blur. I'm just aware of traveling a long distance. And the first thing I recall is coming out of a cave with her. Again, I'm in human form. I'm with this lion. And the sun is burning down brightly from above. It was a very marked contrast from the beginning of the journey. Now, this is where it gets interesting. We walk down a wooden ladder from what appeared to be a cave dwelling in a canyon wall. So like those ancient cave dwellings, this looked a bit like that. The lion goes down the ladder, and so I follow her. But the environment when we hit the ground didn't fit the kind of desert canyon atmosphere that you would expect. We were instead atop a hill instead of in a canyon, with a white limestone path and cedar trees around our path. And it looked very much like Central Texas, where I grew up. So down this hill we went until we found ourselves walking, basically crossing a field and ending up in what seemed to be like a field with water in it, like perhaps a rice paddy or something. I know, you know, you raise rice in the U.S., it's not necessarily elsewhere, but strange. So we're kind of walking on this watery land. It's reflecting the sky above, and it's a little mucky, not too bad, but it's interesting that the cat chose this wet medium to take me across. And as we're walking, it's really an expansively large place. I mean, it feels like it's a mile, you know, that we're walking. It's as if she's headed to this band of trees that rings the land. It's a rectangular shape. And the trees are rather disappointing in that they're only like two or three deep in this band, clearly planted there to provide some sort of buffer or perhaps wildlife. But there's kind of no wildlife that can live there because it's so little. And so monocrops, this is a beekeeper speaking now, the way we farm are really quite monocrop heavy. And so, for instance, the almond trees in California, you have to bring the bees in annually because there's nothing else alive in that area. It's all just almond trees. There's no variety or diversity that would sustain a honeybee population year-round. This was a bit of that same message. There's this band of trees. This lion seems to be looking for shelter. I mean, she's already out of place because she's on this continent, but nonetheless, there's really no there for her. So we look at these trees and they're kind of a joke, and so we just keep walking. But the overtone or undertone was that the environment which we inhabit, I think as souls, is very engineered and nonsensical, whether it's in terms of our city planning, but more so even the way we do natural spaces. So my cat guide couldn't find an environment in which she could live. So we kept on walking, and we find ourselves, after this band of trees, going through dry, dusty fields that have tractors plowing them. And there are plumes of dust going up into the air. It's just, you know, super dry. It looks like a bit like a dust bowl. And there's a line of cars on a highway that are stopped in traffic to our left. This is very much the scene that I saw leaving the eclipse in Oregon, watching massive tractors plowing up the fields and sending all of this dirt into the air. Very arid and dusty looking, not what you would expect in Oregon. And this line of humans trying to get somewhere and going nowhere fast to the side. So we still walked and we walked and we walked. She's still looking for a suitable place to be, it's clear. And at one point she just throws her head back and just roars and roars and roars. And there's no change in the environment. Nothing shifts outwardly. I'm not totally sure what that's about. I think we might get to some of that. But it was quite an image to see this lion just roaring. And it didn't necessarily seem anger. It seemed more like an expression of her power and her identity in the midst of all this nonsense. So finally, at the edge of one of these very dusty fields, we see what looks like a hill kind of in the middle of it all, perhaps a butte. It probably is a butte. It's a forested, it's not huge. It's a freestanding mountain-ish hill. And when we walk into it, it's not exactly her kind of forest. It's looking like an Oregon conifer forest. But suddenly there's shade, it's cooler, there's a variety of species, you can hear the birds. And there's cool water flowing from somewhere. So the lion goes and she starts drinking this spring water. And I join her. And we drink and we drink and we drink. And the next thing I know, she's swimming. She finds a bit of a swimming hole, I guess, further downstream. And swims and finds a big rock and flops herself on it in the sun. And she's, in a sense, purring. I don't know that she's actually purring, but the feeling is of contentment. Except that her stomach is actually rumbling and I can hear it. And so my mind turns to, what can I feed her? What is there to eat? And so I go out in search of food for my guide, my spirit guide, and I catch a bunny, a little white bunny rabbit who's adorable, and I don't really want to feed to the lion, but I know that she really needs to eat. So I hand it to her, kind of hoping she won't eat it, and she passes it up with kind of this understanding that it's too small to bother with, and she can tell I'm upset anyway. So the dilemma of being hungry after this long journey through landscapes that were anything but fitting continues. And night is starting to come on, and all I can think of doing is making a fire. So I gather firewood that's available, and I somehow manage to light the fire. I guess I just actually have a match on me, which did happen when I was camping, actually. But the thinking behind it all was that we didn't need the fire for protection. I mean, this is a lion, for God's sakes. But it was more for warmth and beauty and to cheer ourselves in the midst of a hungry moment. So we fell asleep at the fire. Cats love warmth after all. And I awoke to the dawn, realizing that my guide had eaten and was licking her lips. And it was likely a deer that she had caught while I slept. So then the big cat shifted into human form, a dark-haired woman who called herself Leona, which when I looked it up means a female lion. And I asked her, okay, I get that the landscape in which we find ourselves as souls can't sustain our spirits, which are actually quite wild and quite powerful. But what exactly are you trying to show me, given all the intentions I carry, post-eclipse, etc.? And her reply was that this forested place isn't big, but it's enough. There are still places and practices to sustain the wild spirit that lives in an oppressively engineered landscape. When you find such a place, when you find such a practice. When you feel you are able to relax, breathe, and slake your thirst for beauty, stay there. Take time to immerse yourself. This journey is also about the second chakra, creativity. This is still the guide. She said, this is an island in the desert created by love. Wherever you or someone else creates truly from their core, it creates an island of life in the middle of nowhere. So creating out of our centers creates a place that is capable of not only sustaining our spirits by virtue of even making it, but the spirits of others as well in an otherwise nonsensical, disjointed, and strange landscape. So then I asked her about the fire, and she said, oh yes, so the warmth of focused intention can light the night, give solace in difficult times, and can be a gathering spot for others. The more that are gathered, with the more focused the warmth and the intention. First gather with intention, and then the soul food comes. And then she kind of said as an aside, you know, you may not like what you see as your soul food in front of you. It's kind of a wilder, I guess the idea is that spirit is a bit wilder than we've been domesticated and brought up on. Feeding on life itself and what's available in our lives can often, what, seem impossible, like something you can't wrest life out of. It's not necessarily go around eating beautiful little bunnies, but the sentimentality behind that pause of mine is what I think she's taking aim at, that love is something that's far more powerful and vast and not just about cute little bunny rabbits. She said, when you fell asleep and dreamed, hungry as you were, and you awoke to find your spirit fed. So this can be both a metaphor for dreaming at night and how we are fed by sleep and that we need enough rest. This also can be a metaphor, I think, for shamanic journeying, going into dream time with a sacred circle with ourselves and others, and awakening from that trance state being fed. So what instructions do you have to give us? I asked Leona. And then this was cool. She said, do not settle. Do not stay in environs that do not feed your soul. Keep moving. Keep looking for a place where you can be yourself, or create that place if you cannot find it. She said, and the journey, in part, prepares you to be grateful for the small outcroppings of life in wilderness that still exist, disconnected from the environment as a whole and from the larger culture. So the image of our walking in these different landscapes that didn't really connect to one another, but they were all kind of glommed in together, is kind of perhaps like the discontinuity of our existences, how we travel, how we pop in here and there, how we're exposed to a lot of energies that don't totally connect to one another. They're fine, but there's a disorientation that happens and kind of a loss of knowing where you are, what's going on as a consequence. And that these environments are often, like for a lion, ourselves, not exactly where we're from. Not exactly, even if they're not where we're from, they don't have the elements we need to be at home in the world. So she's saying, when you find such a place, when you find these oases in the desert, spend some time there. Give yourself an opportunity to be restored. And then she said, it's a jungle out there, which made me laugh. And you all need to be renewed. Allow yourself to drink of the wellsprings of spirit and gather your intentions from the raw material of your life. And then she said, the fuel for the fire is love. Not a sentimental love, but a fierce, powerful, and roaring love. Spirit will do the rest, but you have to quit your ladders, which I would take as ladders of success and busyness and always trying to climb, and come on down to earth. Be persistent in your search and spend some time creating and being recreated. So that was the gist of her journey. You know, creativity is in there, certainly. I wanted to read something that I read out of Animal Speak by Ted Andrews on the symbology of lion. Let's make sure I've got it on the right page. Okay. The idea of the young lion being associated with the rising sun, this after the eclipse, is most significant. Since the females of the pride do most of the work, it actually reflects the idea of the rising of the feminine energies. The sun has not always been a masculine symbol. It does give birth to new days, and it nurtures and warms life. Thus, it is not stretching the correlation to see the lion as the assertion of feminine energies to bring forth birth and new power. And for some of the journey intentions that I was journeying for, one was about finding spirit in the midst of a city. And this journey seems to say, on some level, that the inner realm is where you know, make time for the inner life, and that this is where you will be sustained, or one of the places you can be sustained, in a place where there is actually no nature. Don't allow all of your inner landscape, all of your time resources, to be up for sale, as we see in this agricultural metaphor. Keep some to yourself, hold it apart, a little bitty island in the midst of the dry field, and take time to go in there. Another asked about the new paradigm and how to bring it about. And it possibly, this journey says, you know, to embrace the solar feminine is to act in the world in ways that are life-affirming. And it encompasses being maybe not so tamed by the larger culture. And it definitely entails being heard, sounding your roar, but also just never giving up. Another asked, what would you have me do to spirit in the wake of the eclipse? And it sounds as if spirit here is saying, you know, search and search and search. And if you find something that sustains you, dwell there. Take your time, show up, keep doing it. Don't give up and make it less important. And another, as she enters a wonderful month in her religious tradition, was asking about how to gain more clarity and healing. And I think that so much of this journey is about being afraid of our own power and being trained to be so tame in so many ways. And so that healing and rest and connecting to the inner worlds is very much a subversive act. It's an act that's necessary to regain and claim our power in order to do things out there in the world. So it's, you know, in a way it's an inner move, but it's also an outer move. But to be depleted in many ways goes with the agenda of the larger culture that has divided everything up for sale. Okay, that's it for the second journey. Hope you enjoyed it. I look forward to the next one, and thanks for listening.